The Sunday Morning Linux Review with Mary Tomich, Tony Bemis, and Matt Bender.
Bite my 8-bit metal ass. That's bite with a Y.
And as you remember, we were doing a vote, so here is our other intro that we were using before, just in case.
The Sunday Morning Linux Review, starring Mary Talmadge, Tony Bemis, and Matt Anders as the Beaver.
And who won that vote, Tony?
The old intro won.
Yes. Squeaked by.
That's right.
18 to 15, right?
Yes, 18 to 15. And if you look at the website, it'll show 18 to 16. It's just because I was doing a test and I actually made a vote. And we should be the impartial parties. This is episode 129 plus one.
Plus one. Why is it plus one, Mary?
Well, it is plus one because on this day in 2011, Google released the beta for Google Plus. So obviously it's the little social media platform that we use quite frequently, and I just thought it was a good one to choose for today's episode name.
Yeah, all right.
So there you have it.
Cool. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to say that those of you who can see the video see that there's an empty chair that's been tossed back there with something sitting on it. That's not me.
My backpack.
Yeah, here. Yeah. That's Mary's spot.
See, I'm gone, Matt. You just make use of that chair right away. Anyway, nope, I'm coming in remote. I'm out in Baltimore this weekend, and so I'm just dialed in via Google Hangout, and we'll be participating remotely.
All right.
So I guess we might as well catch up on stuff, huh?
Yeah. And Mary, it sounds like you've been really busy the last couple of days.
Yep. Obviously I did a road, I'm in the middle of a road trip. went through the Gettysburg battle area. It was really pretty impressive. But from an open source software perspective, this past week, actually before I left, I had an opportunity to upgrade my PCBSD laptop from 10.0.1 to 10.0.2. And some of the new features that are available in this particular upgrade included a revamped App Cafe. And the App Cafe is a location in the PCBSD sphere of influence that has a whole bunch of different applications that have already been set up and prepped and are ready for install. So they've redone that, and the system seems to be working pretty well. So that was one of the main things that I did. And then just a few other stuff. But that's pretty much it for me.
All right. So, Matt, anything exciting going on with you?
I got a car.
Ooh.
So I am no longer at the mercy of Detroit public transportation, which blows chunks. DDOT, man, if DDOT had to run a for-profit business, they would be belly up in 2 weeks.
What kind of car did you get, Matt?
A used Toyota Corolla, 2001 Toyota Corolla. But it goes forward. That was my only criteria, that it had to start up and go forward.
Yeah. 2001's not bad.
And stop on command.
That was an option, really.
All right. Well, good. It's good to know you got yourself a what appears to be a reliable car.
Well, it starts up and goes forward. That's all I'm going to say about it.
All right.
All right.
And what about yourself there, Tony?
Well, I officially started my new position. And it's a data or a network technician. And it shows up on my work intranet profile and everything. I'm like, woo, Other ones still sitting in my same office I've been in the last 3 years. they have to find somebody to replace me before I can actually start my new job. So, I'll be there probably another month. It takes them forever to hire people.
Is it going to be a new hire, or is it going to be somebody moving from somewhere else?
It's possible somebody moving from somewhere else, but, I don't see anybody really in our group that, would be moving up into the field tech position. We have some people over at the help desk that may be able to move in, but I don't know them because they're in Troy and I'm in Dearborn, which is like a, 20-mile difference?
No.
What, 30 miles?
No.
Hey, that new merger, Tony, how does that impact you?
Currently, and it's going to be a while before really anything happens.
Okay.
What Mary's referring to is that the hospital I work at, Oakwood Health Systems, is doing what they call is not a merger, and it's not a takeover.
I don't know. I just went to the doctor on Thursday, and he's a Beaumont physician.
Yeah.
And he was very excited for the merger.
Right. and the reason, one of the reasons they're saying that is because they've chosen a new name for the new company, quotes, new company, is the Beaumont Health System, or Beaumont Health. So yeah.
Why did they pick the smallest of the three hospitals?
No, Botsford is the smallest. Beaumont.
Oh, wait a minute. You're right. My physician is a Botsford physician, not a Beaumont physician.
But, Botsford is one hospital and a couple clinics. Beaumont is three hospitals and like 30 clinics. Oakwood is four hospitals and 60 clinics. So if you look at the numbers, Oakwood is largest. But if you look at how many beds are in each hospital, then Beaumont's larger. So as like a health system, Beaumont is larger, but we pretty much take up all of Downriver, where they have stuff up in the north end of the Metro Detroit area.
And Botsford's got that one little ring-eating hospital out there in Redford.
Right.
all right.
So, but well, yeah. Okay. So as for the affecting me and IT, it's going to be a gigantic integration work and
but which IT company are they going to go with, because I'm sure Beaumont already had their own IT.
Right, Beaumont and Botsford, they both have their, or I don't know about Botsford, but Beaumont does have their own IT. I work for a company called CareTech, and we do healthcare IT for many companies, and actually the hospital I work at is Oakwood, and they are part owner in CareTech. So it'd kind of be a good thing for CareTech to take over all IT. But there's talks and boards and stuff that they're sitting down and talking about it, and they haven't made any announcements yet. But as for like an EMR system, the Oakwood, we just moved over to an Epic. It's called Epic. And, Beaumont is on Epic, and Botsford is not. Botsford's so small of a system that the Epic company wouldn't even talk to them. They said you have to have so much whatever to implement. So that's one of the reasons that Botsford's excited about this, is because they're going to be able to move in with Epic.
Yeah, that's what my doctor was talking about. The data sharing of patient information is going to flow so much easier after the integration.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that once everything's integrated in, and it's still like 5 years out before all that integration is going to really start working. But there's other hospitals in the area, like U of M and Henry Ford are also on Epic. So it's basically just figuring out the policies of how we're going to send it back and forth. The actual technology to send the data is there. So that's definitely going to be easy. And then there's going to be some other middleware stuff, but we're not here to talk about healthcare IT.
That's true.
It sounds like it would make a podcast all on itself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. That's been busy.
It sounds like you'll be busy for a while anyway, Tony.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, what are we moving on to next? We have
kernel news that Matt's not ready for.
The kernel news, which I forgot about.
So, well, there were some kernels released.
Talk amongst yourselves, kvetch a little bit. We'll have it in a second. There we go.
All right.
All right, hold on.
Matt, what's happening with the kernel?
All right. Well, on 6/22, the main line became 3.16-RC2. And on 6/26, stable kernel 3.15.2 was released. On 6/26, stable kernel 3.14.9 was released. On 6/25, long-term kernel 3.12.23 was released. On 6/26, long-term kernel 3.10.45 was released. On 6/26, long-term kernel 3.4.95 was released. And on 6/18, long-term kernel 2.6.32.63 was released. The old 2.6 kernel.
That is
got
old.
A release.
Still chugging along.
And those are the kernel releases since the last show.
You know, when I first started doing Linux stuff, it was right on the turn of 2.4 to 2.6.
Right, so and, same with me.
Yeah, and that's when distros were still releasing in 2.4, but the 2.6 was available if you wanted to download and compile.
Right.
So that was the first like big thing that I did is... Well, actually, I watched somebody do it for me. I had a Slackware server, and we did the install. And then he's like, all right, now we got to get this new kernel in here. And he goes, and then we started compiling. And then I had a dual core or dual processor, P2, 400 megahertz, fast thing. And at the time, my boss had a single core AMD 6, or AMD 350 or something like that. And we both started compiling at the same time. Mine finished like an hour before his. It took forever for those to compile. But
those were the days.
Yeah.
I don't remember them well. It's a much better time now.
That was pre-stroke.
No. I remember them, just not fondly.
I get it. All right, so I guess we're going on to...
All right.
Tony, what's going on with the Linux distributions this week?
All right, so on the 20th, we have Mageia with 4.1, and it's an unscheduled maintenance update. Remember the name Mageia?
Yes.
It used to be up there on the list all the time, huh?
Yeah, they have fallen out of favor.
Yeah, you know, this particular release of Mageia is, as you indicated, Tony, I think also DistroWatch indicated, is a maintenance release. It's meant for new installations and upgrades from Mageia 3. And so, anyway, I just wanted to mention that as part of that release. If you're already running Mageia 4, they said performing updates regularly, you're not required to do anything since your system should be already up to date. This 4.1 maintenance release is really just meant for new installs and upgrades from Mageia 3. So it kind of sheds a little bit of light on it.
All right. And we have on the 22nd, we have Netrunner 14, which they're a Kubuntu-based distro with a customized KDE 4.13. And they say they have 5 years of security support. I suppose because they're on LTS this time, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, one thing they included in this particular release was something called KDE Live. I think it was like Live Wallpaper or anyway, this feature. So I downloaded it and installed it just to, or at least ran it live just to see. I actually ran it live. Then I installed it in a virtual machine and tried out those live wallpapers. And so, they're kind of interesting. I mean, things will change on them, and I think it uses a little bit of CPU power. So if you've got the internal bandwidth to support that, might be something fun. But it does take a little bit of power to run them.
Right. All right. Next up, we have Makalulu Linux 6.0 KDE edition. They're Debian-based with the KDE desktop. KDE edition.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you know what they did on this release is they have now, it now sports a dual menu option, which basically means you can go ahead and go with the standard, what they call the Lancelot menu, which is, you know, your typical favorites on the left, and then you've got a dual column arrangement of applications and programs. They also have the scrollable home run menu, and Matt, I was starting to say that I think you would not like that, because I think we've talked about it before.
Yes,
but anyway, these guys, can you still hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I heard this little beep in my head. Voices are talking
okay.
to me. But anyway, so they've got that option available. And then also they mentioned too, and I think this is something that they've been doing for a while, is the KDE install that's provided when you initially install is relatively bare bones, so that they like to give users their own opportunity to add whatever applications they want so that they can really customize the system. There's some Makulu recommended software that that can be installed via the post-install wizard. So anyway, just wanted to mention that about them. Oh, one last thing, too. They do have one issue they mentioned, and that is sometimes after install in Dolphin, it'll show old and new home folder icons. So you just simply right-click on the one that doesn't exist and remove it.
Nah.
So anyway, that's their little workaround for that issue.
All right. Next we have is Mint 17 KDE Edition. And, you know, as we were talking last time, that I upgraded to Mint 17, but that was the Cinnamon. And so now they have the KDE edition, and it's on the long-term support LTS version. And that's actually their plan going forward, is sticking on LTS.
Oh, they're not going to release until they get an LTS version?
That's what I heard. So I don't know how well that's going to work. But, I mean, it's going to be stable. And I know it's really, I haven't really seen huge differences other than the Cinnamon updates between versions. So, and I guess it's just the GUI that you see is what, you know, the big difference is. So yeah.
That's going to be interesting how people react to it, Tony. I think you got a point there, because there are people who really like cutting edge stuff who feel that they're behind the curve if they don't have the latest release of something. We all know someone Mary's near and dear to our hearts who feels that way.
Kilroy.
Yeah. Hey, Mary, can you turn your tablet down a little bit?
Because you're doing your Kilroy impersonation.
We're just seeing the bottom of your, you're way at the bottom.
All right, now, you know,
now it's
okay,
better.
Okay, how about if I do this? There, I'm sitting on one of my legs.
There you go.
All right. All right.
Now we can see your whole face. No more Kilroy impersonation.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'm the Hangout's running off my Nexus 7, not my computer. So,
all right.
Well, I guess we'll move on.
Moving on to
The next one is Peppermint OS 5, which they're Lubuntu based. And you know, when they first came out, I checked them out a little bit, and at that time they were mainly like Google Apps and cloud based kind of things. And at that time, I still wanted to have everything. And I still like having the actual applications on my computer. So it was kind of like the Chrome OS before Chrome OS. But you do have the option, because it's an actual distro installed on your computer, you have your option for having, either the applications on your desktop or, in the cloud.
That's pretty cool.
One of the notable things they did with this release is that in the past they've used ALSA for sound, and apparently the user base had asked for a more robust audio backend with more options, and that's more user friendly. So they believe that Pulse Audio now delivers that that user friendliness and more robust options. So this particular release comes with Pulse Audio as a default audio backend. and that also.
Yeah, you know, I really like Pulse Audio. I think it works great.
Yeah, me too. I've never had any problems with it.
I'm not hating it as much as I used to. I do like the granular control, but I always like that little Alpha Conf utility that you could just bring up, you know, from the command line and just go in and tweak.
Yeah. You know, actually Pulse Audio has something like that that's not installed by default. You have to install it, but it's not command line. It's a GUI thing.
Okay.
And it's called PAVU. It's the Pulse Audio something. Now I can't think of what it is. But it actually brings up a window, and you can say, it'll show you all the inputs and outputs, and you can say, take this one and now stick it to there. And then it'll just do it. So it's kind of like Jack made easy with Pulse Audio. I know that the Podnuts, they use that a lot with when they're trying to have somebody just get their mic working. Instead of trying to figure out which input it is and get that to be the default to work with Google Hangouts, you can launch this program, just say, yeah, audio is coming in on this thing, whatever it calls it, and then say, now put it to Google Hangouts, and then it'll just do it. And there's no other configurations you have to do. It's really cool.
It sounds it. But there is a disappointing thing about Peppermint OS. There is no PPC version.
Oh, yeah, because Ubuntu is PowerPC.
Correct. Because I am looking for a lightweight PPC distribution.
Ubuntu.
And
a lightweight?
A lightweight PPC distribution, correct.
What are you going to run it on?
I came into possession of some very old tech.
Okay.
And I want to see if I can make it semi-useful.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that'll be a good little project for you.
Is it an iMac?
No.
Or eMac? No. Okay.
Is it a Lisa computer?
No. not quite that old, Mary.
You know, I don't even know what that is. A Lisa computer? I guess that is old. Jeez, guys.
Yeah, I think it's back from what, the 80s or 90s?
Yeah, 80s. It was back in the TSR-80 days.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think I remember the name now, but I...
Tony, you might not have been out of diapers yet.
All right, well...
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, but it was an accurate jest.
Hey, I was only in diapers until 82.
All right.
All right, so in... 82.
That was a year before I graduated high school.
So you were still in diapers, too?
Yeah, okay.
No, all right,
I had already been in the work world for almost 10 years. Anyway, we're going to move on.
All right. So on the 24th, we have a BSD release, PCBSD 10.0.2.
This is the quarterly update. About that.
Go ahead, Mary.
I was going to say, I actually talked about that a little bit when I was talking about what I did last week and the fact that the App Cafe, which is their pre-prepared applications repository has been redone, and they've got some nice little updates and seems to be running fine. It's not running overly hot, which is good because, you know, I've complained about that in the past. And KDE hasn't crashed yet. Oh, by the way, you know, I booted into Fluxbox because that's a option. And, you know, the Lumina desktop now was included in this most recent release, but it's an alpha stage. So I went ahead and installed it and tested it, and it's definitely rough around the edges. But I'm looking forward to that desktop becoming more production ready in the not too distant future, because those guys, the PCBSD team, is building that themselves.
So you think you're actually going to do the KDE switch to that new desktop there, Mary?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Are you saying that they're going to switch to it?
No, you.
It's possible. The reason why I was thinking of switching from KDE on PCBSD is because it was crashing. It was just frustrating, and now it seems to be working pretty well. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I wouldn't be against switching to it. I was looking at Fluxbox, but that's kind of, Fluxbox is very basic.
Yeah, very minimalistic. But I thought that KDE was the default desktop environment in PCBSD.
It is. However, on this most recent release, they've also made available Cinnamon and Mate, and I'm going to go ahead and install those and just check them out and see how they're how they run on PCBSD. So,
all right.
If I'm running Linux, it's KDE all the way. If I'm running PCBSD, it's whatever won't crash.
That's an important thing.
It is. It is. All right. What do we got next?
Yeah, next is Neptune 4.0, which is formerly known as Zeven OS.
Zeven OS?
Yeah.
I think Neptune sounds, it's a gaseous giant. You know, it just sounds better.
Well, I think Neptune is only the name of this release.
I don't know. It says formerly known as Zeven OS. Neptune Edition.
Right. It says Neptune Edition.
Well, Neptune
is going to be continued. Neptune. Actually, they've got a their repository is called the Neptune KDE repository. So it's more than just the name of this release. It's kind of like a series from them. And they also rewrote their own application. Like the media encoding application Encode, which now ships in a totally revamped version, which I think now is currently at 3.0. And one thing that they've got in it is the ability to convert any known audio or video format, as long as it's supported by FFmpeg, into any known or audio or video format. So they've got some nice capabilities there on that multimedia front.
That's nice, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and one other thing, too, is they've got the, they call it the Zeven OS Hardware Manager. That was also upgraded in this release so that it supports a new kernel, and it will recognize a bunch of new graphics cards and offer the appropriate driver, which is nice for folks who've got an ATI card or maybe some NVIDIA card that might not be widely known or used. So
all right.
Probably stand a better chance of having that driver properly installed and ready.
Right. Cool. All right. So we have on the 26th, we have Parsix GNU Linux 6.0 R1, which is there a GNOME 3.1 desktop based on Debian.
Yeah. Did you see that they've got, I think it may have been mentioned there, they're still running LibreOffice 3.5.4, which is a little dated, but I guess if it works, it works. One thing they noted, too, on their site when I did some investigating is that the UEFI boot, they said that it doesn't support it yet. So they're still waiting to do that. They say if you've got that type of PC, just make sure that the legacy BIOS boot emulation is enabled. So...
Yeah. All right. I had to do that for our work computer just the other day and set the legacy boot. And it's like four different things you have to go in and change.
Yes, it is. It's a real pain in the... Well. But,
yeah. Yes.
I was really? Going to use a four word that Tony would have change? To bleep, so...
I appreciate it.
Let's not use that. But it's a real pain in the...
You know what? Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Yeah, I think we already knew that.
Right. All right. Also on the 26th, we have PFSense 2.1.4, and they're a free network firewall distribution based on FreeBSD. I was thinking about this the other day, and Mary, you know how you've talked about having two different internet connections at home. There's a way you can use PFSense to blend them together so you have one internal network and it will go out to both.
It uses both interfaces so it will aggregate them and you'll get the bandwidth of both interfaces.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, not necessarily the bandwidth, because that you have to do like pure packet trans.
Right.
But if it does like per connection out.
Right.
So if you have one computer downloading something, and then you have a second computer downloading something, they'll be using the two different internet connections.
Correct.
Yeah.
So in essence, giving you the bandwidth.
As long as you have two computers. If you only have one running or one doing something, then you're not going to see it.
Two people live in Mary's house.
Yeah. So you should, I have this other computer that you can have that you can, we can build a PF Sense box and get that. It's called multi-WAN.
Yeah, swap out, because I installed pfSense on that 3-gig desktop, that Dell desktop that was given to me, and I played around with it. It was kind of nice to install it. I guess it would be something worth experimenting over, but I also envision that it's going to probably take some time to do. And
yeah. Well, it's something that maybe I can set up and configure here, and we bring it over your house and just plug it in, and hopefully it works.
That's what's great. Hey. I love PFSense because it's also got a great graphical interface, Mary. So
it does. I tell you, well, you know, when I installed it and looked at it, I really liked it. It was very easy to install and just do the basic setup. If you really want to take it through its paces, though, I think you need to do some reading. And become more familiar with the various settings and configurations.
Yeah, but that's what's great about it, too, is their documentation is really top-notch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it is based on FreeBSD, but it doesn't use FreeBSD's PF. This is what I was told, and this is what I was understood.
PF
is
the
firewall.
If further
investigation does not bear this out, I apologize in advance. But what I was told was that they use OpenBSD's PF. They paid to have it ported. So they actually have the better database, the better firewall than the FreeBSD has.
All right.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, there's some borrowing between those BSD distros.
All
right. Maybe I shouldn't call them BSD distros.
Yeah, what are they?
Systems.
They're BSD distributions.
Are they?
Yeah, I guess they are. Mm. All right. So what do we got next?
Next we have Linux Mint 17 XFCE edition. So we talked about Mint a few minutes ago, but now this is their XFCE
edition.
Desktop, yeah.
And do I sound better, Mary?
Why, didn't you have your mic on at all?
No, I didn't have my mic on.
But as long as you could hear him, that was what was
important.
But
if you could hear me, it was getting picked up, and we were all good.
Yeah, I was hearing you. I mean, you weren't really loud, but I was definitely hearing you.
That may have been a good thing.
Hey, now that you got your mic on, is it on your shirt there? Is it turned on?
Yes.
Let's double check the audio. Go ahead, Matt.
I think it's on. I got to put my glasses on.
No, it's not on.
No, it's not on.
Oh, all right.
Now
I
it's
live
on.
For these moments.
Now, now it's on. Do you hear me better now, Mary?
Oh yeah.
Actually,
I can hear
you sound about the same.
Well, I can hear it better, and it's definitely getting picked up better.
Okay.
So. Yeah, I'm hearing you fine. I kind of heard you okay before. So anyway, we left off with Linux Mint XFCE. So basically, what do? Take the KDE and replace it with XFCE.
Oh, that's what they did for you. You don't have to do it yourself.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, let's see. Development, distribution, web converger 25.0, which is based on Debian, and they are a web kiosk.
Yeah, they're a kiosk distribution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and I know I talked about them a couple months ago when I, maybe it was more than 2 months ago, maybe 5 or 6, but I did put it on a machine, and it's pretty slick. It'll boot to a browser, or you can also get into an admin area and get some things set up. But it's nice. It's got one job, and it does it pretty well.
All right. And then we have Sparky Linux 3.4, Mate, XFCE, and base. Now this is their distro watch to the right. They stuck them all in one entry.
Well, that's because that's the way Sparky Linux released them.
Oh yeah, Mint will get more fanfare if they spread it out.
Well, there's some advantage to a distro to spread it out because you get more FaceTime. But you know, they, in addition to their live USB creator, which I think is part of that release, they've added a few things to their repository. They've got something called Mint Stick, and I suspect that's probably come over from Mint. And those of you who aren't familiar with it, it's a tool for formatting USB disks and creating bootable live USB disks. And also they've got Steam and the Steam launcher in there, 1.0.0.48. And then also I wasn't aware that SeaMonkey was an internet suite. I mean, I knew there was a browser, but I didn't realize that they've got SeaMonkey Navigator. They've got an email and news client, news group client. They've got a whole bunch of applications within the SeaMonkey suite. I just didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
I'm embarrassed to say.
Huh. That's pretty cool, Mary.
So, yeah. So, anyway, but that's what I found out about Sparky Linux when I did my digging.
All right. All right, and the last one on our list for today is Robo Linux 7.5.4. And it's just an update. Yeah.
They're definitely on a roll. So.
All right.
Yeah, they've, let's see here. Well, one nice thing that they've put in there is Kden Live, which I think had been dormant for a while, but appears to be reactivated. So,
you know what?
People can make use of that. What I think is a pretty solid video editing program.
Going back a distro to Sparky Linux.
Mm-hmm.
No PPC. What is you lightweight people?
You know why no PPC? Because that's ancient technology.
But they're meant for ancient technology. They're lightweight distributions.
Lightweight.
And ancient. I think this laptop was made in 2002. Well,
lightweight doesn't necessarily equate to ancient technology.
That's not ancient.
I'm sorry, Mary. What did you say?
Well, it is in the technology world, Matt.
Yeah, 12
years ago. Think about it. That's like 2002.
Bah humbug. That's what I have to say.
Does it have a, the processor clock speed actually go into the three or the fourth digit?
I don't think so. I don't know.
What are you going to try to do with it?
I'm going to try and make it semi usable.
Oh, man. All right. You won't be able to run anything flash on it, or probably nothing, HTML5 probably won't work on it because it's so old. It just wouldn't, the processor won't handle it.
We'll see.
You could run it as a firewall.
I'd recycle it.
Yeah, recycle it. That'll be useful. it'll be,
it's very heavy. It could work well as a paperweight. I've got to tell you.
You could use it as a monitor stand.
You know what? I need something to hold my mirror up when I cut my hair and shave. I was going to go buy one of those picture frame things.
Oh, yeah.
I could use it for that.
Yeah? All right. Well, you know what?
Yeah, you could.
I think it's time to go on to...
The distro of the week, according to DistroWatch, calculated by website hits per day.
All right, so in number five, we have Peppermint with 1386.
And trending up.
In number four, we have Debian with 1394.
And trending down.
Number three is Ubuntu with 1567.
And trending up.
The number two spot is Magia with 1809.
And trending down.
And in the number one spot is Mint.
Gotta love that minty goodness.
With 31.26.
And trending up.
We dropped connection there for a second. It says we're live. Are you there, Mary?
Mary, are you?
I think I'm trying to come back. Am I back?
There was an error loading your app.
Can you hear me?
We have your connection. So if we have your connection, we must also be going out to the internet.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we're back.
So. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what Apple is trying to load.
I can hear you. I can hear you and see you.
All right.
I don't know. There's some latency going on, and maybe the hotel's getting kicked off at me for podcast streaming.
No, anyway, I think it was on our side that time.
Yeah, I can see you. Can you see me?
Yeah.
Yep.
I was waving to your visitor behind you.
Yes,
but she stepped off.
We were waving to the other person in the room.
She stepped off to the side, so I think we're safe now. All right. So,
the other person in the room you were waving at?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Just being friendly.
Yeah. All right. So I guess we're going on to...
What distro are you reviewing this week, Mary?
Top Stout.
Top Stout.
Oh. what I'm reviewing this week, this is going to be a very short review, and I'll explain why. Tony, I think I alluded to this before we went live this morning. I was doing some searching for a suitable distro, and I came across this distro called X Distro, and I thought, wow, X the unknown. I just thought this sounded like a suitable candidate for me to take a look at. Now, this X Distro project is part of a worldwide effort, an initiative that's out there by a group called Tech Distro. And what they do is they promote the use of Linux everywhere. So there's nothing small-minded about these guys. They've also got a stated purpose of this distro, and it is to feel cool while using, and also to produce a modern and elegant and comfortable operating system. It almost sounds like a couch, but I wanted to go ahead and give it a try and take a look at it. So I did. And the vitals, it's X Distro. The maintainer is Naman Distro and team. The distro's latest birthday was early June of 2014. It's a derivative of Ubuntu 12.04, which, of course, is a long-term support version. I try to avoid Ubuntu-based distros simply because they're fairly predictable, which is not a bad thing. But I decided to move forward with this one because the desktop was kind of interesting to me, and I want to talk a little bit about it. The kernel they use is a 3.8.0 kernel. And the review desktop is a highly customized version, or at least it's a customized version of Unity, or is it GNOME, or maybe it's Cinnamon. All three are available, and getting to them initially was a challenge, and I'll talk about that a little bit. Now, the live DVD boots to a very busy desktop, at least busier than what I'm accustomed to seeing in a review distro. On the right is an instance of Conky. Now, this is a very nice instance of Conky, but it's over on the right that is interfering with an instance of the Avant Window Navigator, which is a little menu that's also on the right. So trying to see and get to any one of those menu items was a little difficult, certainly doable, but it wasn't really a clean layout, at least visually for me. The other thing about this distro that I found kind of interesting and probably more in a positive way is that they use a very customized icon set. It's a monocolor set, but they've gone ahead and they've basically taken the icons and made them all circles, and they've got little graphics inside of them. So, and that was another reason why I wanted to take a look at this distro, because it wasn't just a stock Ubuntu thing that somebody has slapped some stuff on. They've gone in and they've changed the names. They've done a fair amount of work to get this thing ready for prime time. I had no problem with my Intel graphics adapter. i915 module was fine. However, my wireless, of course, because of the Broadcom chip, I did have problems there. And I also, in addition to taking a look at the GNOME desktop environment, I also test booted into Cinnamon, and that went mostly fine, aside from a single internal error once the live boot was finishing. And the problem was Nautilus, which, since they're using Nemo, it looks like there's some internal code that still carries the Nautilus reference. But that was what was problematic, and the only problem I had with it. Now, for their defaults, they actually give you the option of either Firefox or Chromium. The Office suite is LibreOffice. The mail client is Thunderbird. And as I mentioned, the file manager is Nemo. Well, once I took a look at this, I thought, you know, go ahead and throw this on it and install it and dive into it a little bit deeper. So what XDistro has set up is a nice grub menu. And so you've got the option of running it as a live distro. Right underneath it directly is the option to install it, and then there's the typical memtest and some other options that are available. So I went ahead and selected install. So then the system goes ahead and it boots up to the live environment. So I'm starting to then try to look around for maybe an install icon, and there's none to be found. So then I thought, well, that's odd. I hit install directly, so I went ahead and rebooted again, and I made sure from the grub menu, I selected install directly, and it went and booted back up to alive. So then the third time I went back in, and instead of just selecting install directly, I went ahead and took a look at the grub menu entry. And what had happened, apparently, is that these guys have got both the live install, direct install and the live environment are the same entry, and they both point to, they both set you up for a live environment. So there's no ability to install this distro, despite the fact that Grub is clearly making that statement in the menu listing. So I contacted the forum that supports this, and I said, hey, I've noticed this. And they said, well, it's a beta, so you can't install it. And I said, well, it would have been nice to put a little note in the Grub menu. So that's actually as far as I got with it. Then I had to leave on my trip, so I couldn't get any further with XDistro. So I'll say from a beta perspective, it wasn't a full beta as far as I'm concerned, because I didn't have the ability to test it. Because a beta, by its very name, implies you're going to do some testing of it, maybe report back to the project maintainers, that type of thing. And I really didn't have the ability to do that.
You know what?
So I felt kind of cheated.
I have to disagree with them, too.
By the time something gets to beta,
it should be installable 100%. Because when it gets to beta, that's when you're releasing it for public to use and do we still have our connection?
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree with you, Matt.
And things like that. Can't install it, it's not a beta, it's an alpha.
But anyway, you're right. And the fact that they didn't really acknowledge the fact that they had a faulty menu entry there, I thought was a little problematic. So overall, I was disappointed in this distro. A nice job with their icons. To take that much time to custom design a whole icon set, that takes time and effort. But it was offset by the fact that I really couldn't completely install it and run a full review from the installed base. I had to do it from a live distro, and you know, it's slower. It just doesn't really give you a complete picture of that distro. So anyway, so that was a bit disappointing, and that's why my distro review is a little short this week. But I'll find a good one next time, and I'll make sure it installs. I'll check the grub entry the first time.
All right.
There you go.
So anyway, that's what it was.
Cool. Thank you, Mary.
Yeah. So it gets a 1.5. I'm going to track it. So. And there you have it.
All right. Thanks.
It's time for the tech news of the week.
All right. Tech news of the week. I have two stories I want to talk about. One, not really technology related, but copyright related.
Take it away, Matt.
Yes.
Can you hear us, Mary?
Can you hear us?
I think there's a major delay going on right now.
Tony's basement to Mary.
Yeah,
Tony.
I can hear you.
You said Matt, and I answered you, and then there was dead air.
I think there's about a minute delay.
Kind of like right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's all right.
All right. The first story I have is not really technology related, but it's copyright related. And everybody knows how much I think the current copyright laws kind of suck. So, but what it was this guy, it's on Tech Dirt, and it's Houston, we have a copyright problem. Because what he did was he posted that classic clip from NASA, Houston, we have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And he got issued a DMC takedown, and they took it down. SoundCloud took it down.
What?
Yeah. Because they default to believing that everything has a copyright. And this is public domain. There is no copyright.
No way.
Yes. It's just total BS. It just shows you the total unruliness of the state of copyright. It's horrible. So if you want the specifics, go to TechDirt. Look for Houston. We have a copyright problem. So it's there. And the second story I have is Android apps are coming to Chromebooks. And as a Chromebook user, and I'm actually using it more and more. I use it at work every night, and I use it instead of opening up my laptop and firing up my full laptop, I'll open the Chromebook at home. There are some days I don't open a computer at home at all. Well, unless you count the Chromebook as a computer, which I guess it really is a computer.
Hey, Matt?
Yes.
Hey, Matt.
Yes.
What's the default homepage for Chrome? Is it reason.org?
That should be my default homepage, Mary.
There's a little bit of a delay.
And you're doing your Kilroy again.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
Anyway.
Oh, am I? There we go.
Back to Andrew.
Well, I'm not sitting on my leg anymore.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's... can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you. So I'm going to go on with my second story, if that's okay.
Okay.
Android
app... That's the news that
I'm sorry?
Yeah, go ahead.
Android apps are coming to Chromebooks.
Yeah.
So it's going to take some work, and people are going to have to port it, but they're coming. So... it's going to make Chromebooks much more useful. There's hundreds of thousands of apps available for Android.
That's
so
cool.
Even if a third of them then are available on Chromebooks, it'll be a good thing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be cool. Yeah, you'd be able to do a lot of stuff on Chromebook.
Yeah. Well, there's a ton of apps. There's a ton of apps here now. You know, if you just go to the store. And what I thought I was going to do with it mostly, I have been, actually, because Netflix has an app on Chromebook.
Oh.
So, I've been watching a lot of Netflix lately. Because I've been a subscriber to Netflix for a while, but I didn't have a device that could use Netflix. And me being the lazy ass that I am, never unsubscribed from Netflix.
So you've been paying for it.
Yes, and now I'm actually using it.
All right.
So... anyway, what do you have this week, Tony, for news?
That Chromebook news was one of them that I was going to talk about. But I have one that now you can use Chromecast and mirror your Android's device to the Chromecast.
That
looks really cool.
It did look pretty cool.
So I got a link in there. Right now I use, with my S4, there's a cable I can buy, and it plugs into an HDMI port. So I can take my phone and put it onto the TV, and that's pretty cool. But doing it with Chromecast would be much better, because you don't have to have hardware that supports it.
One second. I think I just found out why we are having such problems with our connection.
Why is that?
I was accidentally running a download.
Matt, I was going to say, I was watching, and we were doing a solid 5 meg down.
So I apologize to everyone involved.
Are you kidding?
No, because I just closed the browser and said, wait a minute, a download is in progress. And I'm like, what download? And it, when I was looking at those various distributions, I must have accidentally clicked one to download it.
Oh, yeah, we're at 90K down now instead of 5 meg down.
So I want to apologize for all of our quality issues.
And the video is a lot clearer. Can you hear me now?
Fine. Yeah. Now there's like no lag at all. We're
no lag.
Smoking along.
Thank you, Matt.
All right.
Sorry, guys.
No, actually, thank you for finding out what the problem was and stopping it. But anyway,
though I started it by accident, I also ended it by accident. So.
And that's serendipity.
Yeah. But you know, actually, I want to look. Right. I'm trying to look up the link right now for it. But there's a, there's actually a Supreme Court case. I just found it that unanimously rules that software patents cannot cover abstract ideas. Did you guys see that?
Yes, it has to be a.
Or did we talk about that last time? Or
no, I don't think we did. But yes, I read a story recently about that. How it has to can't be an abstract idea because the Supreme Court case they just had.
Yeah, that's a good thing for patents. I don't know much about it other than that, but it's something that's it's a step toward fixing some of the patent issues that we're having right now, and I think it's nice. I think it's a good thing.
All right. And that was, I have one quick news story. Let me know when you're ready.
That is totally your time now, Mary.
Okay. There was let's just say this. There's a rumor out there that Google is going to be discontinuing its Nexus line. Have you heard that?
Oh, no.
Yes, and I did read a news story about it, too, that said it was hogwash.
Yeah. Well, you know, when rumors come out like that and companies deny them, you know it's true. but anyway, yeah, I saw that and kind of caught my eye, and mainly because I own a Nexus 7, so I'm thinking, wow, I'll have a discontinued item, so I guess that's an opportunity to get something new. But no, just kidding on that. But it did kind of catch my eye, and I think it's because somebody, or at least the feeling was that Google was going to be moving more toward this other line, and unfortunately, because of my internet limitations here, I can't pull the story up at this current moment. But I'll be sure to include a link to it in the show notes. So, and that was the only thing that I had this week.
All right.
So, listener feedback.
Listener feedback. All right, so as we talked about it right at the beginning of the show, we had that poll, and the poll shows that the public likes our old intro.
It does.
But we like the new intro.
The new intro.
So we're going to make the intro the outro.
Yes. we're going to use the new intro as our outro, the way it is, or if friend of the show, John, would like to redo it as the outro. That would be workable also with us, whatever John wants to do. If I were John, I would just say, hey, F you guys. Use it the way it is.
Yeah, and you know, even actually listening to it, it doesn't say like welcome to the show,
right.
It doesn't give a, like, really indicate whether it's a beginning or an end.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it would work either way.
Good.
So our adoring public has spoken, and they like
adoring public.
They well, the public that can't find us with the torches and pitchforks anyway, but they
yeah, that's true.
They have spoken, and they like the old intro with the leave it to Matt. So
right,
and. And so we'll be sticking with the old intro.
Yes. And that's what a lot of our feedback was about, the intro.
Yes.
Tom, Paranoid Shell, Joe, Aaron, Brian, Brad,
show Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin.
Danny.
Yeah, we got a lot of feedback.
Brad, Max.
And actually, Max pointed out that I put in info instead of intro.
Yes.
Or into or something like that. I left a letter out, so I actually, had to fix that.
Yeah, there was an issue with awesome, too.
Oh, yeah. Mary fixed that, too. But anyway, so that's a lot. Was that everything?
But I liked Paranoid Shell, because you know how if they sent us their address and they were one of the first 15 respondents, they were going to get those stickers.
Oh, yeah.
But Paranoid Shell was definitely one of the first 15, but he said, I'm too paranoid to give you my address.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that what we'll want to do is anybody who wants a sticker is going to have to tell us where to mail it to.
Well, I know we have at least one address.
Okay.
So. All right. So, man, I'll let you take the envelope home with the stickers, and you can mail them out.
I will do that. You'll get your stickers sometime maybe within 6 or 8 months. No, but if you gave us an address, you'll get a sticker. So, and you're one of the first 15 people who gave us an address.
Yeah, and I think we need to remind people that these are electronic.
Yeah, EFF.
EFF.org stickers. So.
And we're not gonna do this again. So, what I'm gonna do is take the stickers we have and divide them up amongst the people who gave us addresses, and if that comes out to more than 15 people gave us addresses, the first 15 will get stickers. But if less than 15 people gave us addresses, you may get more than one sticker.
Hey, bonus.
Oh. Yeah, it turned out to be a logistic nightmare. And I'm covering anybody that's out of the U.S. who wrote in and wants to send their address.
Only we'll because go ahead I'm not smart enough to figure out how to send postage outside the U.S.?
I am.
All right. Well, anyway, you know, we got an email from Brad, and it was more than just his voting. It says, like a bad penny, I'm back.
Yes.
So what, he says something to you, Matt, right? About
yes,
Bash.
He says, told me that I had a great segment on the dot bash RC versus the dot profile. Well, that's not what the segment was on, but okay. I did touch on that. And what he wants to, what he says I didn't make very clear, which I didn't, was the fact that the bash RC is sourced every time you open a terminal. So if you're in a graphical environment and you open one terminal and start to work and then open another terminal and start to work and then 5 or 6 terminals in, which is at work, I start with 4. And by the end of the night, I can have quite a few more than that open. So every time you start a terminal, your bash RC is red. So he just wanted to point that fact out. So if you only really want it red once, put it in your bash profile. Because he was doing something, I forget what he says, with something with his
synergy.
Yeah, synergy, that was it. So it was loading something every time he opened a new shell, and it turned into a pain in the bahookie.
Synergy is actually a really cool program. I don't know if
you know what it is. Yeah, it lets you use one mouse and
keyboard
and over the network work with many different desktops.
Yeah, it's like a KVM, KVM. And so what there's like an agent that has to run. So if he ran that in his bash RC, that agent would restart every time he launched a bash or a terminal. But if he puts it in his dot profile, it'll only launch the first time he goes to log in his computer. And I had a similar issue where I had, but that's like the Windows thing, but I was mounting, SIF shares. To my file server, and I was doing that in the bash RC, I had to write in an F then script and stuff that would, if it's already mounted, then don't mount it. And, but if I'd known, I'd just throw in my dot profile, then it would have been all good. I wouldn't have to worry about it. So, yeah.
All right.
And then
I can't relate. I'm using ZSH.
You have a ZSH profile.
I know. I just said that.
Yeah, and then
I said that to get my little plug for ZSH in there.
And he also mentions to Marriott about learning Python that there's a couple of books, and there's over 500 plus free programming books and on a number of different languages. Oh, there's a GitHub repo for that.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll...
Yeah, that was very helpful of Brad to provide that information. I appreciated that.
Yeah.
I think I responded to him, too.
And then he also came back to me again there and said, really, Matt, you don't consider Gentoo a viable server OS? And my response to him was, on Gentoo? No, I don't. And because I said so. So, that's it. End of discussion.
Yeah, and he says that while pen testing is fun, because I said I was going into security stuff, it can be kind of boring, especially when you have to go through and read and review the security plans and doing the paperwork. So, all right. And he says, have a good Fortnite.
Yes, he does.
All right. Well, I think... Was that it? I think that was it.
I do believe so. So... Well, and there were those other people that said, we already named them all. But their input was mostly just on voting and which way they wanted the vote to go.
All right. I'm going to put that GitHub link for the free programming books. That's going to be in the show notes, and I'm sticking in IRC right now.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Oh, look, Nancy commented on it.
Nancy the bot.
Our IRC bot.
I had to drop out of the IRC.
Arcs left the IRC also, so you're in good company.
All right. Well, I do have music this week. It's called Swept Clean by the Floppy D.
By the
I'm not going to touch that. You're so lucky, Tony.
I did think about that. But it was still pretty good music, I thought. So I wanted to use it. We'll be right back.
Tony's getting a phone call.
I'm getting a page. So this is the perfect time to end up.
All right. So you've been listening to the Sunday Morning Linux Review. This is episode 129.
Plus one.
All right. I didn't know if we had our lag going on there and if Mary was not going to get in on
no,
that.
No, we're good. Thank you for stopping the download.
No, you stopped the download, Matt. There's no lag.
Right.
It's amazing how when I stopped that download, that lag cleared right up.
Right. This is Tony Bemis.
Matt Enders.
And Mary Tomich.
Yep. Saying, have a good fortnight. See you next fortnight.
The Sunday Morning Linux Review with Mary Tomich, Tony Bemis, and Matt Bender.
Bite my 8-bit metal ass. That's bite with a Y.
Hi, folks. This is Chatter. Jay Wisher, Honky Magoo 5150, and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduke to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script, and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com, IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. Email us at feedback@linuxlugcast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. So join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
Linux Luddites is a show where we try out all the latest free and open source software and then decide we like the old stuff better.
More than just news and releases, we check out a wide range of Linux distros, cover your feedback, talk about obscure command line programs, discuss burning issues over a pint, and much, much more. So join me, Paddy,
and me, Joe, every 2 weeks for news, reviews, comment, and generally being grumpy at linuxluddites.com.
Linux Luddites, because not all change is progress.
In the ham shack, and we want to open your mind.